hell that I was in, I'd do anything to be better.
I thought like a lunatic.
You kind of just have like that little bit of hope that it will get better.
You're gonna make it.
This began my surrender.
I am a witness of my own growth.
It's a life beyond your wildest dreams, and I just have to say, it works if you work it.
My story, that's what I share.
You're listening to Far From Finished, a weekly podcast where we share new, real-life stories of hope and triumph, told by the people who live them.
I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up in Memphis. Poverty, mm-hmm. you can say. Didn't have much, but my mom and my stepdad, mm-hmm. you know, they did what they could. Mm-hmm. We moved around. A lot, you know. I don't know the reason for that. Maybe because, you know, maybe we was getting evicted, and before that happened, we had to find another place to stay. Mm-hmm. But you know, they never told me about that. But we just felt like we was constantly moving all the time, and mm-hmm. I just never had any stable. Never was stable, like around friends and. Every time I got to meet people, you know, it was just like, it's gone, you know. And that was hard for me because it was hard for me to make friends, you know, because I always felt different. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I wasn't cool enough, or I just felt like something was wrong with me. Didn't fit in, mm-hmm. you know, with other people. And I don't know. Of course, growing up, my stepdad, they fought a lot, mm-hmm. you know, and pretty much I feel like that, you know, that I didn't get a lot of things that I needed from them, you know, from my father, you know, from my stepfather, or from my mom, you know, because they were so tied up, in their thing. You know, him cheating, staying out all night long, and her riding around trying to find him, and you know, and trying to stop him from leaving the house, and they get to fighting, and then a gunshot go off in the house, and you know, just I was just caught in the midst of all of that. So my childhood, I didn't really have one, and I was bullied. I went through that phase where I was bullied a lot. I was scared to speak up for myself. I didn't have a voice. So I did pretty much what anybody, pretty much I was whoever you wanted me to be. I didn't know what I liked to do. I did what you liked to do. You know, just pretty much adapted and just lost myself in the mix. I have a younger brother who came up under me. So he's, 30 years old? I'm 37. Like I said, we moved around a lot. Once I got old enough, I started looking for work, you know, because there's things I wanted that, you know, my family couldn't afford to buy me, you know. And just... I grew up with resentments towards my stepfather and towards my mom, you know, for allowing him to do her like he did her and not leaving him and, you know, not being there for me. And it was him for how he did my mom. And like I said, I started using it at a very early age, probably about, I want to say, 11, 12 years old. You know, at this time living in the projects down in the south part of Memphis. This is always around parties and stuff like that. My aunt used to parties, her and her boyfriend, and they were smoking weed and drinking, and had liquor all over, and then my cousin would experiment, you know, when they leave and go out, we'd go drink some and find a weed stash and smoke some weed and, you know, just, and it, thing was, and when I tried it, I liked it, you know, and I wanted something to kind of like take me away from my reality, from where I was at. You know, there was a whole lot of issues going on with me, pain, just hurt, and just, I don't know. But like I said, at an early age, I started using, and I liked it, and just pretty much, I felt like that was what I had been missing, and that made me cool. You know, I could be social, like I could fit in, like it wasn't cool to be myself, you know, and I wasn't cool with being myself. And so once I did that, I don't know, just like pretty much everything I tried, I liked. It wasn't really anything that I didn't like. I wanted more of it when I did it. You know, so I was old enough, it's around 18, right after I graduated, right before I graduated high school, power company, Memphis Black Gas and Water, came to our school, like, had career day, and me and a friend of mine, we decided to go to school that day, you know, because we had been cutting school, and it was like, you know, let's try to see what's going on, maybe we get a good job. And so we went, and I, you know, didn't really think I was gonna get it, and applied for the job, you know, like, and they pretty much accepted me, like, to go to class for it, go to school for it, which was like, it's real good to me, really good to me, because nothing really ever good happened to me. I always expected the worst. I never didn't think anything good should happen to me where I deserved it. So I ended up going to school and starting work for Memphis Like Gas and Water. My partner, they didn't call him. I did that. Soon after that, I got in the church. My grandma, you know, I started going to church with her. And so it was like, I got real involved. And like, I don't know, something happened to me. It's just like I changed overnight, seems like, from out hanging out and smoking weed and drinking and just doing nothing with my life to like real serious about you know, God, and turning my life around. And that was at the same time that the job came through for me, and it's like my life just changed completely. So I got married. I was like 19. I met my wife at the church. That was my first wife. She was a minister at the church, and I got involved, and, you know, was like in the choir and different things, helping out, deacon, usher, whatever I could, you know. We had two kids, and pretty much we were together from 1999, 2004, we separated, you know. I don't know, I just woke up one day, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore, because it's just all that my life has to offer. And I felt like the religion that I was in, like they was telling me what to do and what I couldn't do. And they made God seem like a mean God, you know, that no sin. You can't sin at all. If you sin, God's gonna get you. God's gonna whip you. He's gonna kick you. He's gonna whatever. And so I got fed up with that, because I had a personal relationship with God, and I felt like that it didn't feel at all how they was saying it was, you know. So I was like, there was a whole lot of stuff going on inside the church, and I'm going to leave the church. So I left the church, and shortly after that, me and my wife separated. And it was just like, I got married so early, it was like I didn't have enough time to just go out and just, you know, enjoy myself and see the world or whatever and find myself or whatever. So I just threw myself into the clubs and the nightlife and the drugs. I mean, well, the alcohol, started off with the alcohol. And sleeping with different women and just that party lifestyle. And it felt so good to me at that time. You know, everything was fine. Everything was good. But later on, the cocaine came. You know, I was introduced to the powder cocaine. And that was like, seemed like the best thing that ever happened to me when I found it. And I was like, where the hell have you been? You know, this is it. And I started off using socially, having fun, and it got to a point though to where it wasn't fun anymore for me because I had to use against my will, you know. I didn't want to, I had to. And I was high, trying to hide it, and my life was slowly becoming unmanageable. You know, it was the inward unmanageability, unable to, you know, manage my feelings and what was going on with me internally. The outward was me missing days from work and I didn't know where I was headed then when that first started. That was one of my first encounters with addiction, when my life got out of control then. But okay, all right, I had to go get treatment, go get a little help, you know. But my job was pretty much on my back, so I did that, and I got out and started using again. You know, it always started with alcohol. You know, what's wrong with alcohol? Alcohol is not a drug. You know, everybody drinks, you know. But for me, I couldn't. Because it always led me back, you know, to my drug of choice. But I don't know. Just that occasion and you know, I tried to overdose at one time because I was so depressed with my life. And I was just didn't want to live anymore. And I was suffering major depression. I didn't know it. But I ended up getting put on meds for that. And a lot of things that I was doing was that I wasn't aware of. It was like my anxiety. I was drinking heavily to control that. I didn't know what that was until I went to the doctor and got diagnosed with it. You know, found out a lot about myself when I went to treatment. Excuse me, but I don't know. Back in 2005, I want to say, I met my second wife. I met her, and after me and my wife separated, first wife separated. And, you know, we started hanging out, and she just, you know, always wanted to do for my kids and wanted to spend time with them. And they loved her, and it was something different for me. My using didn't really get out of control until, I would say, 2009, where I lost my apartment, You know, I pretty much I left her, my girlfriend, for 4 years. Pretty much for my addiction, for the cocaine. You know, I wanted to do it and she wasn't cool with it, so I was just like, you gotta go. So I got hooked back up with my 10-year-old's mother, because then that was my first wife, and then after her, then I met my 10-year-old's mom, and in the process of, you know, sleeping with different women, you know, and I ended up going back to her because she was cool with the cocaine and she would use with me and she was okay, so I moved in with her. That was just a terrible move because everything just went downhill, you know. We ended up getting evicted from her apartment and just apartment after apartment, and that lifestyle that I hated so much coming up. You know, I was starting to do the same thing with my kids. And I said, I never wanted to be like that. But I didn't know how to get out of it. Does that make sense? I didn't know what to do, you know. I felt like I was kind of trapped. So ended up leaving her and moving back in with my mom and another treatment. Went back in and got clean for a minute. It's right back to using. I got back out. It wasn't working, or I wasn't surrendering enough. I guess following all suggestions, I wasn't tired yet. I wasn't tired of it. I guess that's what it is. I wasn't tired of being sick and tired. I needed some more. And so I got some more. Got my butt kicked again, you know, by the drugs. And everybody could see it, you know. But it's just like, I was caught up in the grip, you know, of the addiction. Couldn't seem to find a way out. I left my second wife for this other woman who I had met at a club. My addiction just carried me so many places. Like that, I don't even know, you know, a lot of times why I did it, you know. And I was so selfish, only thinking about how my feelings and how I felt, and just I'm doing whatever I want to do, you know. I wasn't just thinking about how my wife would feel, how my kids would feel, you know. So one day I wake up and I'm like, what the hell am I doing over here with her and her kids, and my kids are right around the corner with my wife, and what am I doing? God, I must be crazy. And so, you know, I ended up leaving her, which I pretty much wrecked her life. You know, when you're in addiction, you just storm through people's lives and just not caring about nobody and just messing everything up, you know. You know, it's almost like a tornado. Everything in your path, you destroy it. And I got, once I left her and tried to get back with my wife let me come home, but she moved out. And with her brother, and I was like, I can't do this with you right now. I don't know if you're serious or not. And that kind of hit me, like, you know, wow, she always took me back. You know, she always, whenever I was ready to, you know, she was ready. But now, she may not be cool with us getting back together again. But in my heart, I knew, like, this was the woman for me. This was a blessing from God. God sent this woman to me. I just didn't know how to keep her, you know? So she moved in with her brother. I stayed at home with the kids. I started back using again. You know, I just, it's like, I didn't want to. But I found myself doing it again. Because I wanted to control it. I didn't like being beat by addiction. You know, powerlessness was so, like, you know, paralyzing. Like, it was hurtful. I didn't want to feel like that. So I was like, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to show this addiction. I'm just going to get high on Friday. I'm not getting high on Saturday. You know, Saturday came and rolled around. I got high. I did. I got high Sunday. I got high Monday. I didn't show up for work. I didn't call in for work for like 4 days. They're blowing my phone up trying to find me. My coworkers calling me. I didn't care about none of that, you know? Or at least I didn't think that I cared about it, but I really did care about it. I just didn't know how to keep it and be responsible because I hadn't found recovery yet. So when I ended up, 2012, I ended up going back into treatment. That's when I was just sharing down there about when I came to the OC, it was the Oxford Center at the time. And I didn't know what to expect. I just thought it would be the same. I would get out using again, and my life would be right the same again.
How'd you find the Oxford Center?
I was at Lakeside. I heard about it through them one time. You know, I was supposed to go, but I didn't go. I was like, no, I don't need to go. I'm good. But like I said, my addiction, it just kept whooping my butt. And I was like, I got to get out of Memphis. I got to get out of Memphis again. Because I had been to this other treatment center named Jacoa in Jackson back then. And that worked for a little while. But I want to go to the OC. I need to go to the OC. And I knew if I wanted to get something that I never had before, I had to do something that I had never done before. I had to try something new. And I was just willing to try anything to get clean and want the life that I always longed for. I always wanted. I always dreamed of it. You know, I always desired it. Just didn't know how to get there. I came to the OC, my life began to change. I began to get serious about it, really. It started working for me. I started doing the work, you know. And it was a lot of stuff, really, that I didn't want to do, that I did anyway. And I'm glad I did it after I did it. Pretty much go back through my life and write my whole life history. I didn't want to revisit all that pain, and I didn't want to think about it, you know. But I got down, I got to work, and I got busy, and I started with the people I was in treatment with, you know. I started building relationships with them, you know, bonding with them, and just in the meetings and the sp- speakers coming to share just in those meetings. In that time, I was recovery. And I was thinking, like, you know, and now is as good a time as any. I need to grow up. Like, I felt like I was still a kid when I was out there doing all of that. You know, I wasn't taking care of responsibility. It almost felt like I was a kid, you know? But now it feels like I'm growing up. I'm actually starting to grow up. LC helped me a lot dealing with my feelings. And, you know, pretty much recovery just taught me it's okay to be myself. It's okay to be who I am. You know, I don't have to try to change who I am anymore for people to accept me. And I've learned I have to accept myself first. I have to do that, and I have to forgive myself, you know, for all the pain and things that I put myself through. You know, it was self-inflicted. And like I said, today, I live a more fuller life. I'm not going through life just sedated and just I'm not going through life having to have something to change my mood or to change the way that I feel or make me feel different. I'm good with being myself today and not worrying if you're not so much as worrying if you're going to like me or not. Because I still do struggle with that sometimes. How is it going to be? And you know, but just for today, I have to remind myself, you know, just today, you know, this moment right now. Enjoy this moment. You know, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what's coming up. You know, everything will be fine, you know. The fear, you know. I've learned, you know, that all that is just false evidence appearing real. You know, before I used to F everything and run. Now I face everything and rise. You know, I use that a lot when I'm scared or to do something. I was terrified to come out here and speak my first time doing this. And I didn't want to, but I wanted to give back. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to give back to the place where I got clean at and where I found hope at, where I found my new life. I said we can't keep it unless we give it away. I want to keep what I have, so, and my sponsor always tell me, you know, winners do what they have to do, and losers do what they want to do, you know. So today, I do the things that I have to do, no matter how comfortable it makes me feel, because I want to stay clean, and, you know, and I love the life that I have today, and I have the life that I've always dreamed of. And Narcotics Anonymous, the program, the fellowship, recovery, the Oxford Center, it's gave me all of that. You know, my higher power, God, you know, it's given me that life. You know, the disease of addiction, to me, the way I understand it, is more than just the use of drugs, you know. And like I said, like my sponsor was just saying, if the disease of addiction is more than just the use of drugs, then recovery has to be much, much more than just simple abstinence, okay? Like, I don't want to stop using drugs and still be miserable and still have those same feelings inside of me and still have those same behaviors that I had back in active addiction. I want to be different than who I was. I want to be happy, you know. I don't want to be miserable, clean. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I want all the recovery has to offer me today, for me and for my family, and really for all the addicts, you know. that peace, that serenity, just happiness, the love of, you know, the program, the people in it, and to help reach out and to help somebody new. It's like somebody reached out and helped me and made time for me when I came in. And so I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. You know, I still have challenges. I still face challenges, but really it's not about me anymore. You know, everything used to be about me. I'd get outside myself and help somebody else and try to be there for my family, like when they need me. My extended family, my recovery family, my job, just seems like, you know, a lot of times, you know, my kids playing sports, and it's a lot of demands, life demands, and it can be overwhelming at times, but, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, because if it wasn't for recovery, I wouldn't be able to be, I wouldn't be here today. You know, I wouldn't. And so I try not to complain about these problems I have today, is because they're far less, you know, than problems I used to have. You know.
When you said about your new daughter, like that idea of new beginnings, and like just the fact that she won't know that part of you, like she will know a different dad.
Exactly.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. She won't see that, the ugly addiction side of me. You know, the mean, the yelling, the irritable, the just, you know, she gets to see the recovery in me today, you know, as she should, you know, coming up. You know, she didn't ask to be here, you know. She deserves a loving father, you know, to be there for her and to help her and to rescue her and whatever she needs me to do. Just love on her, and I will be there for her the best I know how, you know, because I didn't come from that. And so all of this is new to me. I'm learning. And so, you know, picking up things along the way, you know, we go to counseling. Me and my wife, we go to marriage counseling. We've been going for some time now. I mean, just because a lot of things I don't know how to do or how to be. But I want to be. I want to become that, you know. You know, and that's the thing. I just want to break the cycle, you know, from my past, you know, from my family, from where I was. I don't have to be like that. You know, I can have better. I can do better. I don't have to raise my kids like that. I give my kids a better shot, you know. And I realize, you know, my parents, they did what they could, you know. I do realize that. They did what they know to do. What they know to do. And they say, when you know better, you do better. And I feel like I know better. So I feel like I should do better. I can do better. And it's a blessing, you know. Like I said, from God and for enabling me to be here and to do the things that I can do today. Doing for me a lot of times what I can't do for myself. And just looking at that baby girl, she just, it just makes all the difference in the world when I look into her eyes, you know, when I'm having a bad day.
How old is she?
She's just 3 months. 3 months on yesterday. And it just makes it seem all worth it. Like all of the problems and cares just go out the window, you know, that I'm worried about. You know, she's so beautiful. You know, and strive for.
Yeah. What would be like the most, let's see, tips or words of encouragement you would give to someone in recovery or considering recovery?
Encouraging words would be, you can do it. You can do it. You know, what we say in the rooms, around the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, is that it works if you work it. This program works for me is because I'm doing the work that requires, that this program requires. It's not easy, but it's worth it, you know? It's worth it. And you don't have to do it alone. Once you come through those doors, once you say you're a member, and all you have to do is have a desire to stop using, to become a member. Just a desire. You're a member. You never have to use again, ever again in your life. Never alone, never again. Just give yourself a chance. You know, don't leave before the miracle happens, because it will happen, and you can reach your dreams that you've always dreamed of. Your dreams can't come true. Lost dreams awaken. New possibilities arise in recovery. You know, and that's good stuff right there. You know, in active addiction, a lot of our dreams get lost, and hopelessness sets in, and you know. But in recovery, it's like I feel like the sky is the limit. It's like I feel like it's only going to get better on this side, and I just want more of it. You know, it's to, like I said, you never have to. Never have to do this alone. You know, if you don't believe in yourself, we'll believe in you until you start to believe in yourself. We'll love you until you start loving yourself. We'll be here for you. It's so worth it, you know, already in my recovery. But that, like I said, I'll be celebrating 2 years, September 28th. You know, a lot of things have happened to me. I mean, as far as a lot of blessings, a lot of good things. Outward things and inside. I feel so much better about myself, like I said. You know, and I know I'm not alone, you know. A lot of addicts come up feeling that they're different, and they try to be like other people and not cool with being themselves. But you are you, and God made only one you, so you're special. So be you, and be good at being you, you know? Be the best you can be. Give yourself a chance. Give your chance a chance, you know? That's it. Recovery is where it's at. I don't miss active addiction. I don't miss the hell and the misery I went through, all of that. Like I said, I feel good about myself today. I can look myself in the mirror today. I can, and not be disgusted with myself. You know? That's a blessing right there, to change how, you know, I felt about myself. Worthless and couldn't do anything right. Failure at everything, you know. Like I said, the sky's the limit, you know. It's a great feeling knowing that you don't have to use ever again, you know. One day at a time. One moment at a time. Break it down into hours, minutes, whatever. You know? It's a process. Recovery is a process. I believe that. It's a process. I don't feel like you're ever finished recovering. You know, I don't feel like you've ever reached the end. You know? It's a process of discovery. You're discovering life. You're discovering you. You're finding out about you, who you are, and what you like, and what you want to do, and just, you know, I'm discovering marriage and how to be married, how to have a, you know, happy marriage, how to, you know, raise my kids, how to be a great father, how to do things, you know, just in every aspect of my life, you know, I want to recover and I want to discover things. And I want to be, you know, I want to be happy. I've come too far not to be happy. I'm damn sure not going back, you know. Just for the day I don't have to use.